You're connected to the Doherty Report with Elizabeth Doherty. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Welcome back to the Doherty Report. I'm Elizabeth Doherty. We have a very special guest on the phone right now, attorney Tom Julin. We're going to talk about the 9/11 papers and more. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you very much.
So you've been representing different media people to try to get, you know, the Freedom of Information Act requests fulfilled. Is that right?
Yeah, I've been representing Dan Christensen, who is the founder of the Florida Bulldog.
Right. I have a link to him on my site because I think his work is so amazing. I mean, he's really outstanding. So can you tell me a little bit about the 9/11, the classified pages? Because those were supposed to be released yesterday, but apparently they were not.
That's right. We had every indication from the White House and elsewhere that there would be a decision made in June. Obviously, today is July 1, and we have not heard anything from the president or anyone else. So there's a little bit of a mystery as to what the holdup is at the moment. But we are expecting a decision very soon, and I would not be surprised if there is a decision today, right before the long weekend starts.
Well, that would be good, because a lot of times, if they don't really want people to see the news, it'll come out on a Friday. So,
well, yeah, that's certainly speculation. And, you know, of course, there's been a lot of downplaying of the significance of the 28 pages by the director of national intelligence and the director of the FBI. You know, I think that they are concerned about what the 28 pages will show, and they don't want an overreaction to it. So releasing the pages today, right as people are going on break, that might be another way to downplay the significance of what we're about to see.
Well, we've had both Dan Christensen and Senator Bob Graham on the program to talk about the 28 pages. And we have sort of an idea, not from them, but in general, from different sources, media sources, what they say. The speculation seems to be has something to do with the funding, who funded 9/11, and there's a specific country that is named in the report from our understanding. But do you think that they're stalling because of a relationship with that country?
I think there's no doubt that that the documents were classified in the first instance due to concern for the relationship that the United States has with Saudi Arabia, and that the resistance to declassification, I suspect, I don't know, of course, but I suspect that the resistance to the declassification, which has now been that process that we have been going through, has now been going on for almost 3 years, I suspect that the resistance is because of the concern that both the Bush administration and the Obama administration have about how the disclosure, the declassification might have on the relationship between those two countries.
So there was a family that left Sarasota 2 weeks before 9/11, and Dan Christensen reported on it. And we've heard a conflicting report since then. Was it from a government agency, Michael, who said that they didn't leave for any particular reason?
It was the special agent in charge of the FBI of the Tampa office who wrote a guest column a year ago that appeared in the Sarasota Herald Tribune, said, hey, there's no connection, nothing to see here. Don't worry your little pretty little heads about it.
That was a very bizarre thing. Our audience here has not heard this story, but basically, there was a family living in a very nice house in a gated community from Saudi Arabia, and 2 weeks before 9/11, they just left. They left their cars, they left their clothes, they left everything.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that's how Dan first got into this whole story. You know, he formed the Florida Bulldog really to start as a local news reporting operation in Fort Lauderdale, but He teamed up with a couple of journalists, Tony Summers and Robin Swan, who had written a book about 9/11. And this was one of the loose ends that they had that they couldn't quite get all the details on before they published their book called The 11th Day. And so Dan Start helped to follow up on that, and he found that there had been this significant FBI investigation of this Saudi family. And he wrote about that, and the FBI immediately reacted to it. This was back in 2011. And they tried to discredit what he was saying and said, just as you're saying now, that that there was really nothing to that. That's what led Dan to file the initial lawsuit that he filed, seeking all of the FBI records of that investigation. And ultimately, that wound up producing a document, a report written by an FBI agent that said, in fact, they had found many connections between this family and individuals associated with the terrorist attacks on the United States on 9/11.
I think you got tens of thousands of pages as a result of that. Is that right?
There's 80,000 pages that have been delivered to a federal judge in Fort Lauderdale, Judge Zlock. And those 80,000 pages, they were produced to the judge because they have the PentBomb code number on them. And that stands for Pentagon Twin Tower Bombing Investigation. That's the FBI's code name for that investigation. Why those documents were in the Tampa field office, we don't know, but we asked the judge to look at all those documents to see if they relate to this particular family's disappearance from Sarasota immediately before 9/11. And he's still reviewing those documents. That process has been underway for a couple of years.
A couple of years?
Yeah, it's remarkable that it has taken that long. But the documents have all been claimed to be classified. The judge had to have a special safe installed in his office by the Department of Justice because of the classification of these documents. And I think that process of review has been impeded by the fact that all the documents are classified.
So
we're hoping to have a decision from him soon in terms of reporting to us on what he's finding, whether these are significant documents showing that this family may have been a cell that was planted here by Saudi Arabia.
So he's looking at them basically in camera, and then he's going to decide what he wants to release.
That's right. You know, he hasn't set any dates, and which has been frustrating for us. And I'm somewhat hopeful that he's going to have a decision for us this summer. But all that he's doing right now is reviewing those documents, and then he's going to tell us how he wants to proceed with the case.
Wow. I can't believe that. A couple of years.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm worried about with the, you know, we're in Orlando, as you know, and this recent Pulse shooting, we're getting the same sort of treatment as far as when we ask for information, we're being told that we can't have it. And we use the Florida statute, I think it's 119.
Right.
To say, you know, we want the information. And we were basically just told no, because it would be upsetting to the families for video or audio to be released of them being killed. And we said, we're not going to use that on the air. We just want to verify what you're saying. And they won't release it.
Yeah, and that's not the way Chapter 119, the public records law, is supposed to work. I mean, it has historically been one of the best public records laws in the country, but various exemptions have been introduced to it. I litigated a case some time ago involving Dale Earnhardt's autopsy records and photographs, and we had the same sort of outcry then that the media was, you know, just trying to get these things for ghoulish reasons, when in fact the effort was made to see those photographs to try to determine the cause of death and whether there had been some negligence on NASCAR's part. And it's very troubling to see agencies refusing to disclose the works of their investigation and what they know, because it can, you know, seriously endanger the public. And that's been Bob Graham's message all along, is that the American public needs to know what the FBI knows about what they found out right after 9/11.
Just one more thing about the Pulse shooting is they're saying now, we've heard two different reports, that either the 911 calls are not available to the public or they were deleted between midnight and 3 a.m.
Well, they should certainly never be deleted. That's a big no-no, and if that has happened, then someone should be in serious trouble for having done that.
I I can't really speak to it yet. I mean, it's still so early that we don't really know, but we're pursuing it. And we understand that there are 24, I think now, different media outlets suing to get the information from the city of Orlando. And I would like to give people your information in case there are any media outlets or media persons that would like to utilize your services to help expedite that process.
For sure. I'm a partner at Gunster, Yokley & Stewart in Miami.
Okay.
And people can contact me at tjulin at Gunster. That's GUNSTER.com.
That's great. And Michael, I think, had another question.
Tom, a quick question for you here. On the City of Orlando website, where they released some information regarding the Paul shooting, they also, at the very top of the list, put a letter from Paul Weisepaul. He's the special agent in charge, of course, at the Tampa field office that is in handling this investigation. And basically what it says is if any media organization or any organization calls asking for records about the Paul shooting, and I'm going to quote here, it says, "We further ask that you immediately notify the FBI of any request your agency receives pursuant to Florida Sunshine Law or any equivalent law or other judicial, legislative, or administrative process for records or information pertaining to the FBI's active ongoing investigation so that the FBI can seek to prevent disclosure through appropriate channels as necessary." This seems to me unprecedented that they would forward the names of people who want to know information to the FBI so that the FBI could do what? What are they going to do with information like this?
Well, you know, that is very troubling. I'm not sure that it's completely unprecedented, though. You know, when joint terrorism task forces are formed, there's oftentimes interagency agreements, and federal law is different than state law. It's much more difficult to get at those federal records, and sometimes there is a joint records sort of sharing agreement. So, you know, what that is telling me is that there is that type of an arrangement in place, and that the FBI is going to seek to override the disclosure requirements of the public records law and claim that all those records that are being compiled are now the subject of a federal investigation. And there are many more, much more difficult exemptions under the Freedom of Information Act than under the Florida Public Records Law.
Okay, this was a case involving a Florida resident in a Florida site. How did it wind up as a federal case as opposed to just a regular state case?
Well, I mean, you see all these declarations that this is a terrorist act. And of course, you know, we see the connections between the shooter and various groups that may, you know, indicate that this was an act that was motivated by his connection to those groups. So I'm not surprised that the FBI is involved in this. I think everyone has known that the FBI was on high alert immediately after this. And so it sounds like they're throwing their cloak of secrecy over the entire investigation now.
Right. That's exactly what they're doing. And we spoke to one of the victims, and he sounded like, I felt some hesitation a little bit there. I mean, it could be just because he was in shock at the time, but I don't know. And, you know, the reason why they initially said it wasn't terrorism, then they had to admit it was terrorism because otherwise they couldn't take the jurisdiction, I think. That's just my take on it.
Well, that certainly could be. You know, I suspect that there are some legitimate concerns that this is terrorism, and it's not simply the desire to use the exemptions to the federal law to stop the access to the records. That there's probably a legitimate investigation going on.
Oh, sure.
But you know, it highlights the distinctions that exist between Florida law and Florida has been in the vanguard of making sure the public knows what its law enforcement agencies are doing. The federal government has been in the dark, if you will, in terms of the way that it operates, and that needs to change. There's been some recent changes to the Freedom of Information Act, but they're not nearly enough to ensure that proper access is available to these kinds of investigations. A lot of times the secrecy is maintained is because the agents don't want the public to know what a poor job they're doing investigating, and there's really no legitimate need to maintain that secrecy.
Well, we thank you so much. We've been talking with Attorney Tom Julin, and I hope media outlets that need to talk with you can do so. Can you give me your email one more time, please?
Sure. It's T Julin, that's J-U-L-I-N, at Gunster, G-U-N-S-T-E-R.com.
Thank you so much, sir. We really appreciate your time this early in the morning.
A pleasure to be with you.
All right, take care.
So there you go.
That was really interesting information.
Mm-hmm.
I got to digest all that. When we come back, we have more news of the day for you. Stay with us. You've been listening to The Daugherty Report.
This is The Daugherty Report on The Voice, AM 1440.